our jumping verse all month long, and next month we'll be going into a new stand, and we're going to be standing for the Bible next month, amen. But for right now, standing for the local church. Standing for the local church, amen. Want to make sure that we're not just standing for it, we're standing in it, amen. And continuing to do God's will. Mark chapter number 3. All month long, we've been looking at the local church. We've seen the primary ingredients in the local church involve prayer, also partnering with Jesus, and then preaching and power, and then reproducing, and all used through God's people by the Holy Spirit's power. And that's what we've been looking at. And then we began to dissect some of the apostles that Jesus Christ picked and said that the disciples that he picked is actually a prototype of Christians that are going to be in churches throughout the ages. And you should be able to find these personality types in just about every church. Amen. Mark chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 13, where he lists the disciples once again. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. They came unto him. Matter of fact, that song we just sang, Who's on the Lord's Side, it said, Whom the Lord calls must be on his side. Amen. Said he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and have power. And there's our preaching, there's our power. The prayer came before that. And to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite. And I want you to read verse 19 with me. And Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. Again, these types will always be in our churches in some way, shape, fashion, or form. And these are the types of people that our Lord Jesus Christ chooses to use in his ministry and operation of the local church. We've seen that Peter was outspoken. We saw Andrew and Philip were both outreaching to people. James and John were both outrageous, we saw. And then Thomas, we saw last week, was outweighing between fact and fiction. And today we'll see another of our Lord's disciples that's represented in our churches today. And he is probably one of the most interesting of the disciples. Most of us know him as the disciple that betrayed Christ. His name is synonymous with shame, treachery, and betrayal. Judas Iscariot is the disciple we'll discuss today. And while Peter was outspoken, and Andrew and Philip were both outreaching, James and John were both outrageous, and Thomas was outweighing, Judas was outside while inside. He was outside while inside. Preacher, what are you talking about? He was outside of a relationship with Christ while inside with Christ. That's the worst position you ever want to be in. That's the worst position you ever want to be in. Outside while inside with Christ. And the local church will always be those that will have their own plan for advancement or their own agenda, whether it be financially or materially like Judas or some other way. Getting prominence or being one of prestige instead of God's way. You're always going to have a Judas Iscariot in every church. They're going to be there. The problem with the Judas type is that they look so good. And they look so good that you don't even realize they are who they are. And that's the deceptive part. They are going to be a Judas Iscariot type in every church. My question, is it you? Is it you? The disciples all said, Lord, is it I? Is it you? Father, bless now. The message this morning, this message Satan will fight against, I know, because we're talking about one of his people that he sent into the local church to do the business of the devil. So, Lord, we know that many that need to hear this may close their ears, may stop their ears. They may bring up all sorts of reasons why they should not listen, but Holy Spirit, I pray you would overpower and show your magnitude and your might and open every ear, open every heart. We might not just hear but see this Judas type and how dangerous this Judas type is. But how this Judas type is in every church and they're hard to spot. Lord, I pray you give us discernment this morning each one of us would ask, Lord, is it I? We check our own hearts. See, we've got our own agendas. We've got our own plan. We've got our own methodology instead of the plan of God that he's given to the man of God. And I pray that through the course of this message, Lord, that there's someone that's lost without Christ today, they could be found. Amen. It would be tragic for them to be in this service and be so near to Christ yet so far away, like Judas, to be inside but outside of the relationship. Oh, God, we don't want that on anyone. And so I pray that if there's one today lost without Jesus Christ, they would humble themselves and they would bow before Jesus Christ and claim his death, his burial, and his resurrection for themselves and be gloriously born again. And they would be saved before it's everlasting too late. Amen. Judas has already gone to his own place, as it says in Scripture. But our places have not been sealed just yet if we're lost. And I pray that you would help that man, that woman, that boy or girl choose Jesus Christ today over the deceptiveness that Judas Iscariot played. Bless now, Holy Spirit, anoint our hearts. Bless through the message and song in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated.
Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Amen. Would to God all of God's people would say that and do that, as a matter of fact, as well. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Judas Iscariot is the last of the apostles we're going to talk about. I would to God that we had time to talk about all of them, but that we talked about the most prominent ones. Amen. And Judas Iscariot probably being the most mysterious one. That's why I kind of saved him for last. You know, when you deal with Peter being outspoken, we can identify with that. Andrew and Philip being outreaching and evangelistic, we can identify with that. James and John being outrageous, we can definitely identify with that, because many of us can be outrageous at times. And then Thomas was outweighing facts between fact and fiction, and I think all of us can find ourselves there. But when you look at a character like Judas Iscariot, being outside while inside, we pretty much don't want to claim Judas.
Right.
We don't want to claim that. In my lifetime, I've not heard many messages preached on Judas Iscariot. And I don't preach on him either. Amen. We reference him quite a bit.
Amen.
But this message is going to be talking about Judas Iscariot himself. And he was outside a relationship with Christ while inside with Christ. And the marvel about it all is that Jesus Christ handpicked him.
He
handpicked him. He called him to himself and said, come with me. And he came full well knowing what he would do and full well knowing that he could utilize Judas for what he was going to do to effect prophecy. By the way, what Judas did was already foretold in the Old Testament. And so it was already known that he would do this. The only one that probably didn't know that they were going to do that would be Judas himself. But when you have the love that he had for money, you do some crazy things. You do some crazy things for money. Judas was so close to salvation, yet so far away. It's been said he was about 18 inches away from heaven, the distance between the head and the heart. The Bible still says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The last place you want to be is close to Christ, but not in Christ. I was talking to my children about the message this week, and as we sat around doing our devotions, and I said, I'm preaching on Judas Iscariot on Sunday. And I said, the last thing you want to do is play act that you're saved. You want to know that you're saved. You want to be sure that you're in Christ. I said, Judas was all around Jesus Christ, but he wasn't in Christ. And I said, children, I said, you need to make sure you're saved. The last thing you want to be is a Judas Iscariot. Because let me tell you something, Judas Iscariots can be raised up in preachers' homes. They can be raised up in deacons' homes. They can be raised up in Sunday school teachers' homes. They can be raised up in nursery workers' homes. They can be raised up in bus workers' homes. They can be raised up because we bring them to church and we set them down there in the classroom, and they hear preaching and teaching all the time. And it's easy to learn the lingo. It's easy to learn the language. It's easy to try to walk the walk and talk the talk and not be in Christ. I'm telling you, it's easy. It's very easy. And so it's dangerous when young people get anesthetized to the gospel message. When they get anesthetized to hearing the preaching on Jesus Christ, and they just make some lip service, and they don't have any life-changing service. Judas Iscariot was that type. That's why it was so hard to pick him out. Judas Iscariot represents those that would tend to use religion to advance their own desires and not our Lord's desires. They see physically or materially and not spiritually, because there is no spirit of God in them. Judas had a love for money or material possessions which led to his demise. Similar to Achan in the Old Testament. Remember, Achan saw the Babylonian garments and he saw the gold and he took it. He said, I saw it, I took it, I hid it, because he had a desire. And at the end, his demise was he got stoned and killed, not just him, but his family. That was a part of that as well. I believe Judas's plan was to use his office with Jesus as an apostle to advance his cause. His cause, of course, was a love of money. Love of money. There are more questions about Judas than answers. You look through the pages of Scripture, there's not a whole lot about Judas Iscariot that is there, unlike James and John and Peter, who are talked about quite frequently. Judas is not. Some of those questions are when, where, and why did he follow Jesus? When did he follow? Where did he follow? Why did he follow? Another question is, where was he and what was he doing when Jesus called him? We find that James and John and Peter and Andrew, they were fishermen. They were fishing. We find that Matthew was a tax collector. He was sitting at the seat of custom when he was called. Nathaniel was sitting under a tree. But where was Judas when he was called? Let me ask you a question. Where were you when you were called?
Amen. That's good, Pastor. That's good.
Where were you when God called you? When God came knocking at the heart's door, where were you at? I can tell you where I was at. February 3rd, 1991, in Belgium, at the church called Calvary Baptist Church in Hershey's, Belgium. There I was. And sitting down there, hearing the gospel message and hearing a clear presentation for the first time, I know where I was at. And I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know where I was at. Where were you when God called you? Because he called Judas Iscariot, just like he called the other apostles. Another question. Why didn't he just tell Jesus, no, I don't want to follow you? Did he join for profit? Obviously he did. How did he turn out so wrong? What went wrong in his upbringing? What wrong in his life that he had such a love for money? By the way, got a nephew that it was told to him when he was younger. You love money too much and it's going to get you in trouble. That same nephew now is in prison for selling drugs. But it was already seen and identified when he was young. You have a love for money, son. You need to change that. And now he's in prison, far away from his family, far away from his children. How did he turn out so wrong? What went wrong in his upbringing? What about his parents or siblings? What did they think about him? If they had to give a commentary, how would they say Judas Iscariot was as a child? By the way, what would your parents say about you as a child? What would your sisters and brothers say about you as a child? What was his former occupation? We don't know. But we do know several things about Judas Iscariot. Say, preacher, what's that? Number one, he seems to be the only disciple from the area of Judea. Judas Iscariot is his name. That means Iscariot means an inhabitant of Kirioth, which is a town in South Judea. So we know that he was the only disciple from Judea. The rest were all Galileans. It is believed that he is the only one from the tribe of Judah. If that is true, Jesus Christ was also from the tribe of Judah. He seems to be the only disciple with an office. He was the treasurer. He held the bag. He was trusted with the money, even over Matthew, who was a tax collector who had the knowledge of money. And instead of Matthew being the tax, or not the tax collector, amen, of being the treasurer, they gave it to Judas. What made them give it to Judas and not to Matthew? The tax collector, who's good with numbers automatically. He kept the things for the Roman government. He was the only one, Jesus said, thou hast said, when asked, Lord, is it I? Right. He's the only one that Jesus said, thou hast said. He was not identified as the betrayer even after the sop was given to him when Jesus said, it's the one that I give the sop. And he gave it right to Judas, and he was not identified. He's the only disciple that Satan entered into. He's the only disciple that most shun from naming their boys after. You hear about Bartholomew's, you hear about Matthew's, you hear about Peter's, you hear about James's, and you hear about John's's, and you hear about Simon's, you hear, but you don't hear a whole lot of children, oh, I'm Judas Dawson. Oh, what's your name, little Johnny? I'm Judas Smith. No, you don't hear that a whole lot. He was the only disciple recorded that committed suicide. The others were martyred, basically. He's the one scripture never records calling Jesus Lord. So there's some things that we know about Judas, even though there's so much we don't know about him. And this type of a character is going to be in every church at some time or another, in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Judas was identified early by Jesus as a devil, and at the end, as a deceiver. In John chapter 6 and verse 70, Jesus, in the midst of his conversation, said, he answered, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Of course, referring to Judas Iscariot. Amazingly, Jesus called him a devil, and interestingly, he was not a murderer. He was not an exceedingly sinful man outwardly. He appeared upright. He appeared noble. He didn't mock God. He didn't ridicule or spit on Jesus like others did that we call devilish. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss as a deceiver. We normally ascribe the devil to vile people, disrespectful people, morally unclean people, people on the streets, people on drugs, hookers, and people like that. We normally explain people like that that are of the devil. Judas breaks that mold all to pieces. Because if there's anybody that seemed more upright, more outstanding, one that could be trusted with the money, it was Judas. Wow. Wow. And preacher, you mean tell me there can be somebody like that in our church? Yeah. Yeah. At the end, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 25, when Judas would betray the Lord Jesus Christ and they had the supper, and Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast said."
Yes, sir.
In other words, he said, "You said it. Am I the one's going to betray you, Lord? You said it." And nobody caught on.
There it is.
In John chapter 13 and verse 26, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Verse 27 says, "And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly." So in other words, he said, "That which you are going to do, go out and do it." And nobody suspected him, even after he said, "Thou hast said," even after he said, "The one that I give the sop," nobody suspected that Judas Iscariot was the one.
Right. That's right. That's right.
You're talking about somebody that can play act very good, like the Christian.
Oh, yeah.
That was Judas.
Amen.
Preacher, what are you trying to say? The finest of us could be a Judas? Yep.
Right.
We always look at the worst of us. We look at the worst of us, the ones that miss church, the ones that don't read their Bibles, the ones that don't come to church, the ones that do all the violence. We normally look at those as the betrayers, but the betrayer was the most upstanding, the most outstanding, the most noble, the one who never missed a beat, the one who could be trusted. He was the betrayer. David said it this way. He ate with me, basically. My own familiar friend. Well, let's talk about several things about Judas that we know quickly and we'll be done. Number one, Judas seemed to long for money. His vice was money. Now ask yourself this, what would you sell Jesus out for? His was money, but money's not going to be all across the board for everybody. Everybody has a sellout point.
Yes, sir.
What is your sellout point? Amen. Everybody's got one.
Amen.
Everybody's got one. Peter's was fear. He was afraid of what people might think, even though he was so outspoken and loudmouthed. He did not want to be associated with Jesus because I'm afraid I might get killed.
Right.
Well, you just had a sword in your hand cutting off somebody's ear, but now you're afraid all of a sudden. What's your sellout point? Judas seemed to long for money. Early on, Judas seemed to bluff his way into seeming to do good and convincing other disciples too. Turn to Matthew chapter 26 with me just for a moment. Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. The issue here is the ointment is going to be poured on Jesus. I want you to notice how influential he is with this longing for money that he has. Matthew 26, and notice down there in verse number 8, it says down there, but when his disciples saw it, matter of fact, go up to verse number 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, notice that his disciples, plural, so they had indignation. Notice that plural. They had indignation saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. So the disciples are chiming in and saying, why is it? By the way, can you ever waste anything on Jesus? Can you ever give anything to Jesus and it be a waste? How can you give something to Jesus and it be a waste? They said, this waste. Hey, my friend, anything that you give to Jesus, Jesus will take. Amen.
Amen.
You can't give him too much praise. You can't give him too much glory. You can't give him too much money. You can't give him too much time. You can't give him too much worship. You can't give him too much.
Yes.
You can't give him too much.
Amen.
They said, what a waste. What a waste. Go over to Mark 14 and verse 4. Mark 14 and verse number 4. Parallel area. Mark 14, verse 4. Matter of fact, go up to verse number 3. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, this is the parallel to that. As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some, over there said they, and I said there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. But let me show you where the real culprit lies. Go to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. This upstanding young man named Judas Iscariot is behind it all. John chapter number 12. Notice down there in verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, they name him Judas Iscariot. The other gospels just say they had indignation. The other said some. This one points to the culprit. The real person behind this stirring up of the other apostles, the real one who's the bandwagon leader,
right.
Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. What did he say? Why was this ointment sold? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So now we find out who the real culprit is. Judas seemed to long for money. Early on in Judas's life, he had this longing for money. He saw what had happened there. Obviously, they had made him the treasurer, and he's concerned about money. Who cares when it's given to Jesus? How much it costs? Who cares? If Mary wants to do that, let her do it. You ever hear people, somebody say, well, I'm going to give a large offering to the church. Well, I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't because you're stingy. But if they love God enough to do it, you let them do it.
Amen.
Well, I wouldn't give that faith promise to God. That's too big.
That's right.
I'm reaching souls for Jesus Christ. What are you reaching, stingy?
Amen.
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 They want to get in there and tell you, oh, don't give or don't go or don't do this or don't do that. Why don't you just be quiet and go on with your stingy self?
Come on.
He loved money. He loved money.
That's it.
Judas seemed to long for money, but he also seemed to love money. Judas put up a front that he cared for the poor. Notice verse number 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Now, what was his argument? Verse 5. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. He could care less about the poor. He just wants to get some more money in the treasury pot because he knows that he holds the bag. And if I got the bag, guess what? I can snitch a little bit of it out. You know, when you only got 2 pence in the bag and one of them is missing, that's pretty obvious, ain't it? But if you got 500 pence in there and I take about 3 or 4 out, you can't see that. So the more money in the bag, the easier it is for me to get some out of the bag. That's Judas's thought. If I got more in, they won't see it when I take some out. It's just the way it goes. And so the Bible clearly says that he did not care for the poor. But he only wanted to make sure the bag of money stayed full so he could take from it unnoticed. Why? The Bible calls him a thief down there. He was a thief. Now, by the way, there's a difference between a thief and a robber. I say this time and time again. The Old Testament says, will a man rob God? And you know what a robber does? Brother Duffy, still stand up. Keep standing up. A robber comes up to him and says, give me your money. A robber will rob you in broad daylight. They could care less. Give me your money. He's laughing at me because he ain't got none. A thief wants to take from you under stealth. They don't want you to know they stole from you. Now you go to some of these big cities overseas like Rome and Turkey. My wife and I went to some of those cities over there. And man, those guys are good pickpocketers. Man, they rub up against you and they got your pocket. So they got your purse so quick. They got your wallet so quick. Man, I had to put my pockets in my front. The bus driver said, "Watch out." Now, this wasn't with us, Pastor Bennett. He said the bus driver told them, "Watch out. They're going to steal from you here. So keep your stuff close." And guess who got robbed? The bus driver did. They stole from the bus driver. The very one that told them to watch out. A thief takes from you by stealth, not wanting to get caught. A robber takes from you openly. That's why the Bible says, "Will a man rob God?" He was saying, "Israel, you have robbed me openly and to my face and blatantly." A thief wants to take it undercover so you don't see. Judas longed for money, we see, but then Judas loved money as well. He was a thief and he carried the bag. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. What does the Bible have to say about loving money? Well, it doesn't say good things about it. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Notice in verse number 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." In other words, he said, be content with what you have and be godly and you'll be fine. That's great gain. Amen. That's good preaching. If I can just be content with what I have, not want more, and be godly, I should be pretty happy. Amen. "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." By the way, what was in that bag that Judas carried, that Judas Iscariot took with him when he died? None. By the way, how much do you have now that when you die, you're going to take to heaven? None. None. You're only taking you. So while you try to amass these great fortunes and this great big material wealth and all these things, guess what? You can't take a penny of it to heaven. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes, they said, look, I make all this money. I leave it to somebody who don't even care about it. They just pilfer it away. That's worse. Amen. Or you get a bunch of life insurance on your spouse and then you die first. Amen. When they die, I'm going to live happy, but then you die. Verse 7, "We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out." Verse 8, "Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Yes, sir. "But they that will be what? Rich. Fall into temptation or a lure, and a snare, a trap, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts or desires." Foolish and hurtful things. I have a desire for things that are going to be foolish, number one, and hurtful, number two. They're going to trap me. They're going to lure me. They're going to ensnare me, and they're going to get me. That's what money will do when you have a love for it. "Which drown men in destruction and perdition." What is Judas known as? The son of perdition. Destruction, waste, ruin, or loss. Verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." People misquote that and say, money is the root of all evil. No, Jesus used money. The disciples used money. We use money here. So it is not the money that's the issue. It's the person possessing the money is the issue. As Pastor White said earlier, they don't have a giving problem. They have a heart problem. Freely you have received, freely you ought to give. Right. Amen. Amen. Judas has this thing backwards. "For the love of money is the root of all evil." It's where it's all going to gender from. And let me say this. The love that you have for anything is going to be the root of all your evil, except it's the things of God. Right. Because it's going to become an idol. Yes, sir. And you're going to put it before God. For them, the love of money is the root of all evil. But the love of cars, the love of basketball, the love of football, the love of working, the love of my job, the love of this person, the love, anything that you have that's a love ahead of God, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. This is the first and the great commandment. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Anything that you put above that, my friends, will get you into trouble. The love of money. And that's what got Judas in trouble. Love of money is the root of all evil. Notice this. "Which while some coveted after," what did he just say? "I waste you that on Jesus." how you even frame your mouth to say that. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They've gone away from that which they know is right to do. Find people that get jobs and all sorts of things. They miss church. They miss the things of God. Hey, you erred from the faith. Preacher, I don't like that. You don't have to like it. Take it up with God. They've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through. Why? They did it. While they're coveting and going after. Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What did Paul tell Timothy? But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. He said, look, he said, you need to stay far away from that. And teach it. Come, stay far away from that. Why? The love of money is what's going to get them in trouble. There will always be those that love money. There will always be those that long for money like Judas Iscariot. And number three, Judas seemed lost over money. Come over to Matthew chapter 26. Seemed lost over money. See, for Judas, it's a money thing. The more money I have, the better off I can be. Now, I don't know if Judas Iscariot grew up with ideas like this. I'm going to be rich when I grow up. I'm going to have all the money I get when I grow up. I don't know if he had those ideas. I don't know if when he found Jesus and Jesus said, come follow me, he said, Jesus wants me? Not realizing Jesus could see his old black heart.
Right.
Jesus wants me? And I'm sure he saw Jesus as this miracle worker. Mm-hmm. I can multiply fish. If he can multiply fish, he can multiply bread.
Right.
He can heal the sick.
Right.
He can multiply money too.
Right.
He's going to bring in the bucks. Ching, ching.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, I'll follow you. And Jesus, by the way, I'm pretty good with money. But we've got Matthew. Oh, Matthew, he's a Galilean. What does he know about Matthew? Well, okay, I'll give him credit. He was a tax collector. Okay, he's all right. But Jesus, I'm really, if, when I get the money in, I'll make sure it's going out wisely. I'll make sure who it's going to. I'll even send a thank you letter when they give. I'll do a good job. I think Judas said, I'm going to cash in on this. Man, we got these fishermen over here. They're a bunch of country bumpkins. They don't know nothing. The only one that got half sense about money is Matthew. If I can just keep Matthew away from the money, we can do pretty good. Amen. We get 500, I'll take out 5 for myself. If we get 200, I'll take out 2 for myself. We get 700, I'll take out 7 for myself. That'd be pretty good. Now, Matthew, you just stay away from this. How much we got, Judas? Oh, we got enough. Now, Jesus, what you give some money to that widow over there? All right. Here you go, widow. You can have this money. This is from Jesus. Now, Jesus said give him 1,000. He only gave him 500. Guess what he did with the other 5? Put it in the bag. Why? He was a thief. He was a thief. And that's what thieves do. That's what thieves do. So I don't know why Judas joined. Maybe it was to get rich, but I know he loved money and showed early when there was a waste put out there. He longed for money. He loved the money, but then Judas seemed lost over money. Matthew chapter 26, pick it up with me in verse number 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? Notice that. What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. Now, why did Judas say that? It's approaching the end. And Jesus keeps talking about this crucifixion. He keeps talking about dying. He keeps talking about he's going away. He keeps talking about he's going to leave us. Now, wait a minute. Mama didn't raise no fool. If he's going to leave us, guess what? All the miracles are going to stop. All the giving is going to stop. All the income is going to stop. Everything is going to stop. I got to make a way for myself. I don't, like they say, I'm ashamed to beg. I don't want to dig. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll just sell him out. And this is why I believe he sold him out. When they come to get him, he always broke away before. When they tried to catch him, he got away. When they tried to catch him in his words, he got away. When they tried to get him and throw him down headlong, he got away. One time it said he passed through the midst. They have not arrested Jesus once. Jesus is better than Houdini. So I know what I'll do. I'll just concoct this plan so that I can get my money. They're going to try to arrest Jesus. And then Jesus will just speak the word. And they'll all just fall down by the way they did. But then they got back up. And then Jesus let himself be caught. Judas didn't factor that part into his plan.
His plan was, I long for money. I love for money. I've been getting money. Jesus talking about dying now and leaving us. I'm going to be out of money. And I got to get some more money because I love money.
Right.
He's going to get lost over money.
Yes,
by the way, anything that you covet after and go after, you'll be lost after that as well.
Amen.
Notice what it says in 15 again. He said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. That's the price of a slave. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. So from that time on, Judas said, you know what? Let me just find a good time when I can tip them off where he's going to be. Can't do it around the crowds because then everybody will, you know, come in there and get involved. And I can't have that. And I got to be, you know, kind of, you know, incognito with this. And so it's got to be a quiet place. What place better than the Garden of Gethsemane? And so Judas, in all his plotting and all his scheming, surrendered our Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He said, what will you give me? It's all about me. I've got my own agenda. I've got my own plans. I've got to get rich. I've got to take care of myself. He said, I'll deliver him unto you. They agreed, a covenant with 30 pieces of silver. The Judas type in the church is always looking to see what's in it for them, not for Christ, nor the local church. They could care less about the church. They could care less about Christ and his program. As long as it gives me my edge that I'm looking for, then I'm okay with it. But the minute I don't get my edge and it's not all about me, then I got a problem with that. He longed for the money. He loved money. And he became lost because of the money. At the end of Judas's life, Judas seemed to loathe that same money. Turn over to chapter 27. Chapter 27. Verse number 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, speaking of Jesus, repented himself and bought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. He loathed the money that he longed to have. He loathed the money that he loved so much. He loathed the money that he became lost over. He loathed it. I hate this money now. And he's bringing the money back. The Bible says he repented himself. By the way, godly repentance is going to bring salvation. This is just sorrow that it happened the way it did. I wish it hadn't happened the way it did. I wish Jesus hadn't have gotten caught like he did. I wish they hadn't have put an innocent man to death. I wish I could have kept my money. I wish Jesus would have gotten away and I could have slipped off into the sunset. I could have had my money. But it didn't turn out the way I thought. And so he's sorry about the way it turned. By the way, the day I got saved, I wasn't sorry for my sin. I was broken over my sin. I was broken over my sin because I saw a holy God abhorred my sin, but loved me. But loved me. My friend, I was broken. Broken. If you didn't get broken, you didn't get saved. Don't come up, well, I'm sorry. Sorry didn't do it. You did it, as he said when we was kids. Amen. I was broken. And God wanted to put me back together again. He repented himself. He's sorry it didn't work out the way it did. Verse 4, saying, I have sinned that I betrayed the innocent blood. Yes, it's innocent blood, but you knew that before you started. You knew that Jesus was innocent. You knew that was innocent blood, but you longed for the money. You loved the money. Now you lost over the money. Now you loathe the money. The very thing you go after is going to be the thing that you hate in the end. Amen. Pastor White talked about relationships, amen, and proper dating and things like that. You start going after a young boy or after a young man, and you get that person, they're not what you thought they were, you're going to loathe that. You're going to hate that person. Man, why did I get stuck with you? Because you went after the wrong thing and not God's will.
Right.
I have sinned, verse 4, that I betrayed the innocent blood.
Amen.
They said, what is that to us? See thou to that. In other words, they said, that's none of our business. We came for it. And you got what you came for. There's your 30 pieces of silver. So what? He's like, I loathe it. Now I hate it because it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. At the end of our lives, what matters most is relationships, not riches. You talk to elderly people or those that are dying, they will always talk about their loved ones and the relationship with them. Very rarely will they talk about their possessions. Why? Their possessions don't mean a hill of beans. What matters are relationships. My sons, my daughters, my aunt, my uncle, my grandma, my grandpa, my mother, my father, who have relationships. Nobody said, well, you know, I got four cars that they're lying on the bed dying. Well, I got 12 houses. Who cares? You can't take none of it with you. What about those relationships that you didn't patch up? What about those relationships that are out there that are all messed up? What about those relationships that you love and that you long to have? What about those relationships? Relationships is what matters, not riches. And Judas forfeited the greatest relationship he could have ever had with Jesus Christ. He was outside whilst he was inside with Christ. At the end of life, Judas found himself without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Found himself without a relationship with the apostles. He found himself without a relationship with the religious leaders he covenanted with. They didn't want him anymore. They said, we don't care about this money. We don't care about you either. And it seems everyone else that he knew, that knew he sold Jesus Christ out with, he had no relationship with anymore. Be careful what you sell Jesus out for. You will come to hate it in the end. You sell them out for a boyfriend, you'll hate it. Sell them out for a girlfriend, you'll hate it. Sell them out for a job, you'll hate it. Sell them out for a car, you'll hate it. Sell them out for a house, you'll hate it. Whatever you sell Jesus out for, you'll hate it in the end. When you find a relationship with Jesus is not what you thought it was. Notice what it says down there, verse number 3 again. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and bought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. That which he longed for so much, that which he loved so much, he's given back. Go figure that out. That which he loved, he's given back. And he's giving it back saying, I'm sorry. Verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He has no relationship with Christ. He has no relationship with the apostles. He's got no relationship with the religious leaders. He's got no relationship, it seems, with nobody else because he went after the wrong thing. Instead of going after relationships, he went after riches. And he could have had a relationship with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the only one he has a relationship with is the pit and darkness and hell and suffering and torment and blackness and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's all he has until the great white throne judgment when he stands before God and God brings him up and says, Judas, Jesus Christ, my son, I picked you as one of my disciples. You had the opportunity to repent. You had the opportunity to turn. Even at the time that he hung himself was about the same time Jesus was getting nailed to the cross. He could have found his way to the cross. He could have went down to Golgotha. He could have fell at Jesus' feet, said, I sold you out for 30 pieces of silver. I'm sorry. Oh God, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. He could have fell at his feet, but he didn't. He hung himself. He felt sorry for himself. And by the way, people that hang themselves oftentimes are some of the most selfish people because it's all about me. I'll show them by hanging myself. Well, you sure show them. I'll show them. I'll get back at them by shooting myself or cutting myself or killing myself. I'll show them selfish. That's the pride in your life. Folks say, well, I just cut myself. No, don't just cut yourself. Go to Jesus. He's already cut himself for you. He's already bled. You don't need to bleed. But people do it. He went and hanged himself. Go over to Acts as we finish this up. Acts chapter number 1. In Acts chapter number 1, the disciples really didn't find out about Judas Iscariot until the point of betrayal. Notice chapter 1, verse 14. The disciples are listed there that were left in verse number 13, the same ones that we've been studying. They were come, verse 13, in the upper room. There were both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, same ones we've been talking about. Thomas Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer. There's a relationship they should have had, that Judas should have had. And supplication, that's a relationship he should have had. With the women and mother and the mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, that's a relationship he should have had. And with his brethren, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. That's where Judas Iscariot should have been. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guiding to them that took Jesus. In other words, when Peter said, I know we're all sorry about this. We're long-faced and we're hurt in our hearts that Judas is gone. But let me tell you something. This was going to happen. It was already prophesied it was going to happen. This was foretold. Jesus was not blind. He knew this was going to happen. He handpicked Judas because he knew Judas was going to be the one to affect the will of God. And my friend, I tell you, that is the will of God. I do not want to be affecting. But God knew he longed for money. He loved money. He was getting lost over the money. And he loathed that same money. My friend, God knows your heart too. He knows what you long for, what you're longing for and loving and going after. You may not be like Judas Iscariot, but let me tell you something, friend. If you put it before God, it becomes your God. And then you'll loathe it. He says down there, this scripture must be fulfilled. Verse 17, for he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. By the way, when they went out preaching and teaching and casting out demons, that Judas Iscariot was right there with them. Right. Now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder the midst. And all his bowels gushed out, and it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem. So much as that field is called in the proper tongue of Saldama, that is to say the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. And let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. And drop down to verse 25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. His own place was hell. Say, preacher, where did it start? Obviously, it could not have started when he met Jesus. His character was already formed by then. He already had this longing for money. He already saw the opportunity when Jesus called him. Man, I can get in with the miracle worker. And man, I can make some quick bucks. This is a get-rich-quick scheme. And so I love the money, and I'm going to play like I'm spiritual. Why was that waste that could have been given to the poor? It's because he's a thief and he had the bag. And he loved that money. But then he was lost over the money. What will you give me? And I'll sell him out. What can I profit for Jesus? By the way, if Jesus doesn't profit you spiritually, you don't need any profit. Amen. Amen. The spiritual profit is the profit that you need. For Judas, it was 30 pieces of silver. What are you getting out of your sellout of Jesus? I can tell you this, it's not worth it. The road of Judas Iscariot starts out subtly and slowly, but it's steadily and surely. A little here, a little there, until you're sold out. It all depends on what your love is. Depends on what your love is. Remember, Satan didn't enter Judas Iscariot until the last moment of his deception at the meal when he had the last sop, and he ate that sop, and it said, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said, that thou doest, do quickly. Satan did not enter him until that point. All the other times, he just influenced him. He influenced his choices. He influenced his decision-making. He made it appealing to him to get rich and to have money. What does Satan appeal to you about getting and having? Sports, fame, fortune, cars, money, clothes? Remember, Satan didn't enter Judas until the last moment of his deception. He just influenced him up to that point in his choices because he loved money. But preacher, we say, I'm here. So was Judas at every service. But preacher, I'm busy in the ministry. So was Judas. But preacher, I'm busy in leadership. So was Judas. A preacher, I never missed a service. Neither did Judas. A preacher, I was called by Jesus. So was Judas. So was Judas. So you can say what you want to say. But I'm here to tell you, oftentimes, the most upstanding, the ones that look the best, the ones that look the most spiritual, oftentimes end up being Judas Iscariots. They dazzle people. They wow people. They look good. They sound good. But in their hearts, they're no good when it comes to the cause of Christ. They're not for the local church. They're not for the man of God. They're not for Jesus Christ. They're for themselves because they know better. Don't be a Judas. Don't be a Judas. 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." I told my children the other night as we're talking about Judas Iscariot, I said, "Look, you need to make sure you're saved." I said, some of the ones that follow the path of Judas Iscariot are preacher's kids, deacon's kids, teacher's kids, those that are busy in the ministry. They're kids. Because they're always around the things of God, and so we just assume they're saved. And they go along, they know the lingo, they know the ropes like Judas Iscariot. I know what to say. But then they sell Jesus out for something. Some sport, some girl, some guy, some coat, some money, some job, some prestige, some form, some fame, some something. They sell them out. They say, "Ain't that the preacher's kid? Ain't that the deacon's kid? Ain't that the teacher's kid? Ain't that the bus driver's kid? Look at him." Judas Iscariot. Outwardly, Judas had all the makeup of a fine Christian leader. Inwardly, he was led and influenced by Satan to his own desires, which was the love of money. That was the bait that he fell for. My question today is, what bait is Satan using on you? What bait is he using on you? Maybe it's for fame. Maybe it's fortune. Maybe it's prestige. Maybe it's position. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your children. I don't know, but I can tell you this. Satan does not rest. He is looking for upstanding Christians that he can do this. You look at the demise that's on the Christians there. They're all amazed at how could Judas do this? How can he sell Jesus out there in a quandary? Well, who's next? They already saw Peter fall. And now Judas. And they're thinking, who's next? And that's a good position to be in. Lord, is it I? That's a good, humble position to be in. Lord, is it I? Am I going to be the one? Because then I can check myself. Lord, don't let it be me. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Where do you spend most of your time? Where do you spend most of your talents? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. What do you love most? For Judas, he loved money. He longed for money. But then he became lost over money to the point that he loathed that same money. Sometimes you get what you want and you hate it because it's not what you wanted. And he missed out on a great relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Maybe today, your love is not money or material possessions like Judas, but it's not the Lord Jesus Christ either. Maybe it's your prestige, plans, performance, position. Maybe it's puffed up with knowledge. Maybe it's popularity. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. Just like we don't know a lot about Judas, but what we do know is scary. It's scary. I can look good, talk good, and be good in front of others, but my heart can be no good. Where are you at today? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. And Father, this is one of those messages that we don't like to hear. We don't like to hear about Judas and how we could resemble him in what we do. But Lord, it's true. We must continually ask, Lord, is it I? We must continually bow before you. We must continue to make sure that we're not longing and loving the wrong things and being lost over the wrong things and then loathing those wrong things that we went after. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls today. But I do know that this guy, Judas Iscariot, the disciple said he went to his own place. That place is hell. And there are those under the sound of my voice, and some may be in Judas's shoes right now. They've never established a personal relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Speak to that heart of that man, woman, boy, or girl. There could be some in here that are saved. They are born again. They know they're on their way to heaven, but they still have other things in front of Jesus Christ. And although they're not going to hell, they're not being good examples. Oh, they look like Judas. They're upstanding, But in their heart of hearts, they're not for Jesus Christ. They're not for the local church. They're not for the man of God. They're not for the plan of God. And Lord, speak to those hearts, those men, women, boys, and girls. But if there is one that's lost today, give that one the courage to go past their fears, to go past pride, and to come and let us take a Bible and show them how they can be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Let's all stand to our feet. Perhaps you're here today, you need to come and get saved. We're here and we'd love to help you. I sat where you sat before, in church, wanting to be born again, thinking I'm on my way to heaven, but I wasn't. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can get saved. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm saved already. But is your love like Judas's love? Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I renounce that love that's not you. I resolve that love that's not for my brothers and sisters, and I want to love what you love. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you need to join this church today. You've been saved, you've been baptized scripturally, and you need to join this church. Maybe you need to come. As the music plays, whatever God lays upon your heart, would you come? Would you come? Judas Iscariot, one of the ones that Jesus Christ called. But Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Maybe you need to come this morning. Maybe it's to do business with God. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, is it I? Am I the one? Am I the one? Are you really born again? Are you in Christ? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Perhaps you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. You don't want to be guilty of being around Christ but never being in Christ. You don't want to be guilty of being called by Christ but never coming to Christ. You don't want to be guilty of never giving your life to Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins. Judas repented, it said, but he didn't go to the one that could forgive him. He went to the priest. They could not forgive him. He should have went to the cross and got his forgiveness and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But instead he went to the priest. He went to those that he covenanted with for 30 pieces of silver. Church doors are open. Say, preacher, I think this is a place that I ought to join. Would you come? Would you come? You've been scripturally saved, scripturally baptized. Would you come? Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've got some questions about that. Why don't you let us help you to answer those questions and ease those doubts? There's a God in heaven that loves you. And he would have saved Judas to scare him up to the last moment before he hung himself. If he would have only repented and called on Jesus. Why? He longed for money. He loathed the money in the end. He was lost over money. Where are you at today? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Sobering message, I know. Any of us could be Judas Iscariot. Lord, is it I? Should ring on our hearts the remainder of this day and throughout this week. And you make sure God gives you a resounding no, it's not you, because you've bled the blood of Jesus Christ. You repented of your sins. And you need to be able to go back to a point and place and a time and a day when you bowed your head next to Jesus Christ to save you. Can you go back there? Can you see that place? If you can, then woe is on you. You want to be able to see that place. Father, thank you for this month of messages on the disciples and the local church. And God, we need to be aware of the personality types in the local church, because they will always be here. And Lord, I pray that as you look upon this congregation, that each one of us has made a conscious choice to choose Jesus Christ. And although we know we can't see the heart of men, women, boys, and girls, but you can. And that heart that truly is not converted, Lord, convict that man, that woman, that boy or girl. Don't give them rest. Don't give them peace until they get things settled. They don't want to turn out like Judas Iscariot. And Lord, I pray for us as Christians, we may be saved, but Lord, are we selling you out by our lifestyle? by the things that we put before you, the things that we put before the local church, the things we put before the things of God. Lord, help us not to be looking good, but in our hearts, no good when it comes to the local church. Help us to know how we can best be a blessing, how we can best be a support, how we can best be an encouragement to the men and women in the house of God. And help us to keep before us, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, thank you for meeting with us today. And thank you for the other 11 apostles that did not let Satan influence them to the point of not receiving you. And thank you that we have their testimony of being soldiers of the cross. And Lord, one out of 12 is still more than what you want to lose in hell. And so, Lord, we thank you for those 11. And thank you for these that are here. And help us to live for you. Lord, help us to be back tonight to enjoy the fellowship and enjoy the preaching and teaching of your word. And Lord, give the Godinez family safety as they get to San Diego as well. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Affect your will in our lives in Jesus' name.